Well, message title for tonight, Encourager for God. One of my spiritual gifts that I believe God has given me, and my wife would agree, is that I am an encourager. And I want to encourage people to be used of God, to step up, regardless of who we think we are, how we measure ourselves in the broad scope of things. Listen, God can use you. One of the things that I so enjoy and about being a pastor is watching the way people have grown, and watching how they grow in the Lord. Dennis, we've watched Dennis. Dennis was a ruffian when he started coming here, and we have watched over the last number of years how the Lord has, and I'm not just saying this because I don't need to puff you up, you're already puffed up, but amen. But God, we've watched you grow, man. We've watched you grow in the things of God, and it is such a joy to see that happen. And if I'm pleased, God really pleased. And I mean, even some of the senior saints in here, God has caused to grow, right, Mike? I just can't get over the fact that when we were in the other building, you know, Mike and Sharon, they just came to church. And they prayed and those kinds of things. But when we moved, when we bought this property, and it was a mess, an absolute mess, that man came alive. He just flat came alive, and he just started taking over and doing stuff and selling barrels and giving barrels away and lining this up and lining that up. And it was just a joy to watch what God will do in lives of those that will yield themselves to be used of God. Encourage one another. The Bible says encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. Amen. Hear ye, hear ye. Court is now in session. Paul could have said those very words in his letter to the Romans. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, it's the door. It could be described as the doorway that leads into God's courtroom. I'm going to develop this in the next few moments, but Father, I pray right now that you would give me insight, Lord, that your anointing again would be on me to declare your word and to speak your word, preach your word, Father. And I pray your anointing on your people to receive. And Lord, where I fall short in describing and explaining your word, I pray your Holy Spirit would take over and put it in us the way we need it, Father. And God, I thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the theme of Romans is the righteousness of God, but Paul had to begin with the unrighteousness of man. And until man knows that he's a sinner, he can't really appreciate the gracious gift of salvation that is being offered to us in Christ Jesus. Before I found the Lord, I thought I was doing all right. I thought I was a great guy. I really did. I thought I was okay. Because I was measuring myself against everybody that I was running around with. And when everybody's doing the same thing and you're doing the same thing as everybody else, it doesn't look like anybody's out of line. But when you begin to measure yourself against something as accurate as the Word of God, all of a sudden, things begin to show up that maybe are not quite that way. I used to cuss really, really good. I was very good at it. I was fluent. I was fluent. And now I look at people and hear people talk and I wonder, how in the world can you not form a sentence without using the F word and this word and that word? And it's like, can you not mentally put that sentence together? And I was that person. I was that person. I used the Lord's name in vain so many times in my younger days, I couldn't even begin to count. Not that I would want to. It was so bad in my life that at one point, after I got saved, I was bragging to one of my coworkers at how good I was doing at not cussing. And he said, "Well, have you heard yourself?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You can cuss the bark off a dug fir tree." I had become so accustomed to hearing those words and come out of my mouth that it never even registered. And so I had to begin on purpose to listen to the words that come out of my mouth and change some things about me. And until a man knows he's a sinner, he can't really appreciate the salvation that God offers us. Paul follows the basic Bible pattern. First, the law and condemnation, and then he follows that up with grace and salvation. And can I tell you today, church, that God has called every one of us to be encouragers. We are to encourage one another. I don't have to tell you, however, that this world is filled with those who would discourage us and try and turn us aside from living and behaving as God wants us to. Everybody's doing it. Well, that don't make it right. God has called us to persevere in the ways of the Lord and to encourage others to join with us. Turn with me to an interesting passage that I ran across in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament book of Amos. Amos chapter 2. Amos chapter 2. I want to just read the first five verses. Our time is kind of limited, and so I just want to put this out there and show you how the people of God can be. Listen to this. Thus says the Lord. Did you hear that? This isn't just some Tom, Dick, or Harry. This is the Lord. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. But I will send fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Keroth. Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting and trumpet sound. And I will cut off the judge from its midst, and slay all of its princes with him, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have despised the law of the Lord, and have not kept his commandments. Their lies led them astray, lies which their fathers followed. But I will send fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. How many of you don't mind at all when your enemies are getting punished? But all of a sudden, when the punishment begins to fall upon you and your people, all of a sudden things are different. Animosity between Moab and Israel began very early when the Moabites refused to give the Jews passage on their roadway. And the king of Moab hired Balaam to curse Israel. And then Moabite women began to seduce the Jewish men and commit fornication and idolatry with them. all things that are in direct opposition to what God had commanded them and told them and showed them time after time to do or to not do. And so during the period of the judges, Israel was subject to the Moabites for 18 years, according to Judges chapter 3. Amos, the prophet, announced that the king of Moab and his officials were all guilty and they would in fact be destroyed, along with their cities. Moab was taken by the Assyrians, and the land eventually became the home of numerous nomadic tribes. And so the nation of Moab was no more. And though not under the Mosaic law, these nations were in fact responsible to God for what they did. And responsibility brings accountability. Responsibility brings accountability. God sees what the nations do, and He judges them accordingly. This nation was once called a godly nation. We are hard-pressed to call it a godly nation today. I believe God still is here. I believe God still wants us to persevere and to pursue Him and to be a godly people and to be a godly nation. But I'll tell you, let me just put it to you like this. The church has been silent for too long. The church has not been the mouthpiece that it was in days of old. And that's why we have the problems that we have today. Is because the church, if the church would just stand up and be accounted. Amen? Boy, what changes we can make. God sees what the nations do and He judges them accordingly. World news from day to day might give the impression that evil leaders and violent subversive groups are getting away with terrible crimes, but God's still on the throne and will in fact punish the evildoers in His timing. Amen. Just, you can rest assured in that. I declared that this morning. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess one day. It looks grim, it looks bad right now, but there's coming a day. There is coming a day. So in his six messages, Amos announced the judgment to the nations that were surrounding Israel and Judah, starting with Syria in the northwest and ending with the Transjordanic nations of Ammon, Moab, and Edom. And his fellow Jews heard this condemnation, and they no doubt applauded at what they were hearing. They were glad. They were thrilled to death. Boy, those guys are finally going to get what they deserve. But when Amos focused on Israel and Judah, his own land, it changed their attitude completely. The very idea, in fact, of a Jewish prophet classifying God's chosen people with the Gentile dogs was more than they could take. They just couldn't believe it. I mean, they were probably saying stuff like, well, we know we aren't a perfect people. The people of Judah would argue this, but at least we worship the true and living God. Well, when you're not worshiping idols, you do. When you're not off worshiping some false god somewhere, you probably do. See, the temple was filled with people bringing their sacrifices, but Judah was a nation given over to idolatry. According to verse 4 of chapter 2 here, it says their lies or idols led them astray. I say this a lot, and you've heard me say it, but if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. And the children of Israel were falling for these idols instead of standing on what God said. The children of Israel, how many times through history have the children of Israel gotten in trouble because they did not follow what God said for them to do? Look at Joshua. Look at what Moses, over and over in Deuteronomy it says that be strong and courageous, for I, the Lord God, am with you. He talks about that. He's encouraging them all the time. Don't lose heart. Don't be afraid. Fear not. And yet, when they went in and looked at the land themselves, amen, we can't do it. We can't do it. The Gentiles sinned against conscience and the law of brotherhood and humanity, but the Jews had despised and rejected the very laws of God given to them by Moses himself. So theirs was the greater sin, because greater privilege always brings greater responsibility. Greater privilege always brings greater responsibility. Let me jump forward quite a while into the book of Romans, and let's see what Paul has to say. And in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18, the whole context of it all runs clear into chapter 3, but we don't have time to develop all of that tonight. So I just took a snippet of this scripture, and I want to share it with you. This is what it says in verse 18 through 25. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Or rather, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So these verses, when they're read aloud, it sounds like a list of charges being brought in a court of law. That's why I started it the way I did. All people everywhere deserve God's condemnation for their sin. None of us deserve the gift of salvation that we have been given. None of us deserve that. The picture that Paul is painting here is an ugly one. That human history began with man knowing God. Human history is not the story of a beast that worshipped idols and then evolved into man worshipping one God. Human history is just the opposite. Man began knowing God but turned from the truth and rejected God. Look at what's going on in our nation today. Man, when I was in the first grade, questioning whether I should be a girl or a guy never entered my mind. Not one time. Not one time. I never had to make a decision. God made that decision. He didn't make a mistake. He knit me together like this in my mother's womb. He put everything in me in my mother's womb that I would need to survive and to live and to be His vessel and to be His servant. And the enemy knows that. And the enemy comes against us. He does everything he can to stop it. Listen, I've fought a lot of battles. I've lost a lot of battles. But I've won a few too. That's why I'm still here. God revealed Himself to man through creation. through the things that He made. And from the world around him, man knew that there was a God who has the wisdom to plan and the power to create. You are His prized possession. No other created thing that God ever created did He create to worship and to glorify and to praise Him except us. In His image, the Bible says that we are made. In His likeness. It doesn't mean we look like God. It just simply means that He fashioned us the way He wants us. And yet, all across America today, people are changing the creation that God made. I don't know how they're doing it. I'll be honest with you. I just don't know. Exactly. Man realized that this Creator, God, is eternal. His eternal power and Godhead in verse 20, since God could not be created if He's the Creator. This thing did not happen by poof. We are created just exactly the way it says we're created in Genesis. I'm reminded of a story where the enemy wanted to have a contest with God, making a man. And God said, "All right, let's do it." And so the devil started scooping up dirt, and God said, No. Get your own dirt. I created this dirt. You get your own dirt." How many of you know it was over right then? It was over right then. Facts about God are not hidden in creation. According to verse 20, they're clearly seen. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to look around and go, God must have done this. I see some weird stuff, but I saw a picture under a super powerful microscope, an electron microscope of the face of a mosquito. You ever seen the face of a mosquito up close? They got 120 eyes. It's crazy. They're nasty looking little buggers. You know why you don't often feel them when they bite you? Because they have an anesthetic that God had put in them that they numb your skin literally when they're biting you. And so oftentimes we don't even feel it until we look down and they're red and they're that big around and you go, and it just goes everywhere. My God did that. I hate mosquitoes, but God did that. I hate yellow jackets and bees, but I love the honey that comes from honey. I mean, I'm telling you, God did that. God took plants, clover, alfalfa, ryegrass, orchard grass, fescue, and turned them into beef steaks. Glory to God. I'm telling you. It's an amazing thing. He took somebody's life that was an absolute mess and a disaster and turned it around and made something good out of it. The heavens, according to Psalm 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. I love to watch lightning, and I'd a lot rather watch lightning in Utah than in here. You know why? Because oftentimes rocks don't catch on fire. And there's a lot of rocks in St. George, in Utah, in that desert country. I love watching the electricity and the lightning, but I know what it's doing when it happens here. But, I mean, can you imagine? Can you do? I don't know how that stuff happens, but God does. He just... Men knew the truth about God, but they did not allow His truth to work in their lives. They suppressed it in order that they might live their own lives and not be convicted by the truth of God. We see that taking place in our nation right now today. I can't believe the things that people get away with in regards to our police officers. I would have never disrespected a police officer the way they are today. I just can't even believe it. I just can't believe it. The results, obviously, was refusing the truth and then turning the truth into a lie. I mean, am I the only one that can see any of this very stuff playing out before our eyes right now? And finally, man has so abandoned the truth that he became like a beast in his thinking and in his living. And man knew God, it is clear, but man did not want to know God and to honor Him as God. And again, if God, if Jesus Christ is not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. Instead of being thankful for all that God has given man, man refuses to thank God or give Him the glory that he deserves. Listen, man, I think back over my life and the times that I've messed up and failed God, but yet God still uses me. God still loves me. God still has a purpose and a plan for my life. How can I not do my best to submit to Him and say, God, here am I, use me? I owe a debt of gratitude to God that I'll never be able to pay this side of glory. See, man was willing to use God's gifts, but he wasn't willing to worship and praise God for the gifts. And the result was an empty mind and a darkened heart. Literally, a blackened heart. Man the worshiper became man the philosopher. But the empty wisdom only reveals his foolishness. I love trees and the mountains and the hills and the creeks as much as the next guy. But I don't worship it. When you begin to worship the creation and not the creator, it's called pantheism. From idolatry to immorality is one short step. From idolatry to immorality is one short step. If man is his own God, then he can do whatever he pleases and fulfill his desires without fear of judgment. That's why we see what's going on in our nation today. Because people, men do not fear God today. We are our own gods. We make our own rules. We're not held account. People aren't held accountable anymore. I said this was a message of encouragement, and it sounds like all gloom and doom, but the reality is we need to know how bad it is before we can encourage one another to be better. We reach the climax of man's battle with God's truth when man exchanges the truth of God for the lie and abandons truth completely. We're seeing that played out. The lie is that man is his own God and should worship and serve himself and not the Creator. It's the same lie that Satan used in the garden to lead Eve into sin. You shall be as God. Been causing problems ever since. It's been working for all these thousands of years. When man began to feel the tragic consequence of his sin, you would think he would repent and seek God, but the opposite is true. He was abandoned by God. He could only become worse. man did not want to retain God in his knowledge. So God, it says in verse 28, God gave them over this time to a depraved mind. A mind that doesn't even think about God. People use the excuse to live like they want to live and live in sin and say, well, you know, sin is sin. Well, that's true. Sin is sin. And God loves the sinner. Yes, He does, but He does not love the sin. But there are certain things that are categorized a little differently than just sin. In fact, God calls it an abomination. And there's a stark difference between just a sin and an abomination. And to live in sin is an abomination before God. You can't. It's one thing to commit a sin. It's another thing to live in sin. So God gave them over to a depraved mind, which means a mind that cannot form right judgments. Men not only committed these sins in open defiance of God, but encouraged others to applaud them as they sin. If you remember all the riots and things that took place, people were encouraging that. Looters and stuff, breaking in and I can't comprehend that stuff in my mind. They have no fear of consequence because, truthfully, there aren't very many consequences anymore. How far man has fallen. He began glorifying God but ended exchanging that glory for idols. He began knowing God but ended refusing to keep the knowledge of God in his mind and his heart. He began as the highest of God's creatures, made in the image and the likeness of Almighty God, but ended lower than the beast and the insect because he was worshiping the beast and insects and every other thing under the sun instead of God. I could take you around Oregon and show you entire cities that have died because of some bird or some animal or some plant that we can't destroy because, you know, it's going to just ruin everything. Well, so what's the verdict? The verdict, according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, is they are without excuse. When we stand before God, folks, we will be without excuse. We won't have an excuse. God's not gonna ask us what our excuse is. He's given us ample chance, ample opportunity. I want to close with this. I talked about them. Having a depraved mind. But I want you to think for just a moment about the prodigal son. He was doing all kinds of stupid things. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 15 and verse 17, when he came to himself, he had a moment of clarity in his mind. And he began to ask himself questions. He began to make some declarations about himself. The servants in my father's home are living way better than I am. And so I just want to go home and hire on, be a hired hand at Dad's house. But isn't it just like the Father that when we find ourselves in the pig pen, having given up on family and everything that we need, everything that young man had been raised up to believe, he had denied and denounced and just was running amok. And he came to himself. And when he came to himself, everything began to change. And he went home And the father saw him coming. And you know the rest of the story. And the father ran and embraced him, put the coat on him, said put shoes on his feet, a ring on his hand, kill the fatted calf. That which was lost has been found. My son has come home. Sometimes I wonder why God has me preach messages like this. Because to the best of my knowledge, none of us are idol worshipers. But we're surrounded by them, folks. And I think sometimes God wants to just remind us of what and who is out there and what the correct response as children of God should be. And we are to love them, but not condone them. Amen? We're to love. We're to encourage. I want to encourage you, even as we see the day approaching more and more and more, that God loves us. And even though we mess up and we fail and we fall short and we make stupid decisions, God still loves us. God is still pursuing us with a passion. God still has a plan for your life, young man. He has a purpose for you. Every one of us in this room, God has a desire to use to further advance the kingdom of God in a place of darkness. Listen, my heart is to see Myrtle Creek, Oregon turned upside down for the glory of God. It's going to take every one of us. Sonia, when I found out that you were one of our bus kids, I could not believe that. We hauled her to church in our bus. Gave her peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in the mornings. And to see fruit from years ago just start showing up, it does something spiritually inside of me. That there is hope. I don't even remember who I was with at Tommy's the day you guys were in there. And you had a Christian shirt on, and I commented about the shirt. And she goes, we don't have a church. And I said, well, there's one right there. Do you see that big building right down there? Full circle, all the way around. It's amazing. It tells me that there's hope, that God is going to raise this place up, and that we, literally, we're going to raise it up out there about 8 feet. Literally, we're going to raise it up. And we're going to let our light shine for the glory of God. Amen. I just want to challenge you to pray that God would begin to use you for the work of ministry. That God will give you a burning desire to share the gospel with anybody that will listen to you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight, and I wonder sometimes why I preach what I preach, but I believe that you've given it to me to share, and if that's the case, and I believe it is, then Lord, you have a purpose and a plan and a reason. And Lord, tonight, I just pray, God, that this message, your word says that judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And so, Father, tonight, would you allow judgment to begin in the hearts of each one of us? God, that you would challenge us and that you would convict us and that you would bring us opportunities to share the love of Jesus with those that are around us. God, I pray for healing and health and wholeness in every life that needs it. God, I pray, Lord, for those that have lost loved ones just recently. God, that you would be with them and comfort them. Nothing gets by you, God. And we love you. We look forward to a great week of glorifying you and sharing the love of Jesus wherever we can. God, take us home tonight to our homes. Get us there safely. Bring us back together, Lord, on Tuesday night for grief share, Wednesday night for Bible study, Thursday morning women, Friday night men, the men's retreat over the weekend. God, we'll gather back together here on Sunday morning to worship and to praise you and to glorify you. I thank you for all these things tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great week. Tell somebody you love them. Encourage them. Amen.